Radiotonic.
Hi, this is Radiotonic with me, Jesse Cox. Today we launch Addendum, a new series that explores the stories behind the classifieds. And a little later, we'll hear some of your own memorable tales about finding, losing, seeking, or selling through the newspaper or the internet. Plus, we drop into a meditation class where one man is hopelessly distracted by the extremely famous person next to him.
Well, we want the same thing.
You do?
We want to feel just one breath.
That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. First you free the body, then you free the spirit. You don't build a house from the roof down. You build it from the foundation up.
Breathe deeply and stay with us. This is Radiotonic with me, Jesse Cox. Every day, thousands of classified ads are placed around Australia, flogging everything from tea towels to toilets, rock collections to rock and roll memorabilia. In our new series, Addendum, journalist Fiona Harari has gone in search of the stories behind some of those ads. In the coming weeks, Fiona will inquire about first love, how to find an egg donor, the supernatural, and rats. But today she begins with an appropriately themed advert for a Radiola 5.
Addendum. Stories behind the classifieds. For sale. 1952 AWA Radiola 5. Good working order. Cabinet in excellent condition. Unmarked. Asking price $110.
For as long as he can remember, Keith Bennett has been beguiled by the world of radio. Growing up in Adelaide in the 1940s, he watched as his dad, Sess, built custom-made valve models in his old workshop, giant pieces of furniture that dominated suburban front rooms. People used to take such pride in their radio, Keith says now at 83. You'd go into any home and they'd have their console radio in the corner, and that would be the pride of the lounge room. He remembers being 6 years old and staring in wonder as his father magically built a world of sound from a pile of parts, sometimes letting his little boy cut out the holes in the grand wooden cabinets that displayed the radio's dials. In those late years of World War II, radio was vital as a source of information and entertainment. Everyone had one, and everyone needed one. And in the eyes of young Keith, that meant no one was more esteemed than his dad, a skilled radio technician who'd spent years honing his skills with AWA before setting up his own repair shop in the suburbs. By the time Keith was 14 and ready to leave school, he was keen to learn a trade. It was pretty much inevitable that his father took him on as an apprentice technician, introducing him to the intricacies of sound that would sustain them both for decades. It was just a thrill working on those radios, Keith says, but it was tough for him too. He was so good, and I found it very hard to compete with him, not because he was my father, but because he was a brilliant technician. Sess Bennett did not just fix radios, he designed them too, drawing up circuits and designing amplifiers on demand. For the next 30 years, he passed on his knowledge to Keith, as father and son worked side by side in the family repair shop. It was detailed, demanding work. At a time when most businesses open 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, the Bennetts prided themselves on offering a 24-hour service. Bring your radio in one day, and it would be returned, good as new, the next. Sometimes they even did house calls. For young Keith, that often meant working through the night, but it was all part of the service that father and son reliably provided through the 50s and 60s. Then, as television came into more homes, they started servicing them too. But gradually labour costs surged and component prices dropped. By the early 1970s, demand for the skills that Keith and his father had developed over decades fell away, as consumers found it cheaper to buy a new set than to fix an old one. Keith moved on to another career. He'd always loved horses and started training them for harness racing. But he never completely left the world of radio. He continued to tinker with old sets, and when Sess died, he took over most of the bits and pieces in his shed. Among them was an old AWA Radiola 5, a sturdy model which Keith had thought was from the early 50s, but has since discovered was made in the late 1940s. He found spare parts from some of the other sets he'd collected and fixed it up for a new home in a new century. After all these years, Keith seems to still understand innately what makes a radio work, a skill which he doubted would last him until 83. "I never thought my memory would serve me so well," he says, with that same sense of satisfaction that fills all his memories of life as a radio technician. "You feel very proud," he says. "It's part of history."
Addendum: stories behind the classifieds.
Addendum: stories behind the classifieds by Fiona Harari. The sound engineer was Mark Don. And stay tuned for more episodes in the coming weeks. From looking outward to turning inward. In one of the busiest cities in the world, poet and radio producer Pike Malinowski sits down and tries to meditate, but is overpowered by distractions, and one in particular, the man sitting next to him.
Everything.
Sitting there more than 7 million people live in peace.
Nothing. Harvey Keitel.
You don't build a house from the roof down. You build it from the foundation up.
The foundation is the soul.
The foundation is the body.
The sound of a room. An old industrial space, cement floor, tall ceilings. About 60 people shuffling into a room, looking for a seat. And the sound of the city beyond the room, New York City. A bell. The sound of a bell ringing out. And a voice, this voice, a self, or as it's known from the inside, I. I am meditating, or I'm learning to meditate, or I'm trying to learn to meditate, but I'm distracted by the man sitting next to me.
Let's begin with a meditation, which I'll guide you through. You can just sit comfortably and be at ease.
Another voice. The voice of the woman who's guiding us through the meditation.
Close your eyes or not, whatever you feel comfortable with.
I found an empty chair next to an older, scruffy looking guy. Wild, fuzzy hair tucked under a red bandana like he had just blown in from a New Jersey truck stop.
The first instruction begins with simply hearing. Simply listen to the sounds around you.
I knew that I knew him. There was this immediate sense that I'd known him for a long time and we'd been through a lot together. You know, like a cousin you used to play with, but now you've both grown up and you forget his name. But flipping through the photo album of my mind, the pages were blank.
As you sit comfortably, you may hear external sounds. You may hear internal sounds. You may hear certain qualities of silence.
Inside this first silence that we shared was suddenly a cough. A quiet cough, but a cough that revealed a large, rumbling voice. And that's when I realized that I was sitting next to the famous actor, Harvey Keitel.
We begin with hearing, because it points to some of the natural qualities of mindfulness.
And immediately I started thinking about all the things Harvey Keitel might be thinking about.
We don't have to define the sounds as being a certain thing.
or all the things Harvey Keitel was trying not to think about.
We don't have to manipulate them.
Or I was trying not to think about all the things Harvey Keitel was trying not to think about.
We don't have to do anything about them in order to hear them. Simply listen.
Harvey Keitel, a physical reality in the chair next to me, but also an idea in my mind. My idea of Harvey Keitel projected onto the chair next to me. And my memory of all the parts he's ever played, like the corrupt police officer and bad lieutenant.
We then bring that same feeling tone, that quality of relaxed, open, spacious awareness, to feeling the breath. Take a few deep breaths and release it.
It was shocking to see such a famous face, the face of so many mean and ill-adjusted gangsters, looking so peaceful and withdrawn. His large hands folded in his lap. Our intimacy made me feel protective of him, like I was in on a secret, the secret of who he was. And inside that secret was the cocaine-sniffing lieutenant, howling for forgiveness. He lost all his money gambling and now he's in the church.
What am I gonna do?
God is his last hope. Or maybe he's here to file a complaint.
Where were you? Where were you?
I'm here now. I'm right here. Come, take my hand. Stand up. It's cold on that stone floor. You can sit here in this pew.
I try to do the right thing, but I'm weak.
It's okay to cry, even when you're a grown man.
Then allow your breath to become natural. You don't have to try to make it deeper or different. Just be with it the way that it is and the way that it changes. See if you can feel just one breath. Just this one.
Why do I meditate? Oh, I meditate to rein in that constant flow of thoughts. That voice in my head that keeps on yammering its constant commentary like some sort of embedded reporter.
Did I say something wrong at dinner last night? I should really buy an apartment. I'm getting too old to sublet. That girl noticed me looking at her breast. Have I been wearing these pants too long?
I did so many bad things! I'm sorry!
As you sit, make the effort to steady your attention on the feeling of the breath. And inevitably, thoughts and feelings will arise.
Forgive me!
Sorry, Harvey. I have to go.
They'll come. They'll claim our attention. And what we're practicing is repeatedly noticing them and simply letting them go.
Forgive me! Forgive me, please!
I'm trying to let go of myself. This enormously important self that we all drag around. All the pompousness and all the pretense. All the glorious ideas of what this magnificent self, which is mine, will achieve in this world. All the vanity and the jealousy and the idiotic posturing, just let go. I can't think of a more selfless person than Augie, the tobacco shop owner in the film Smoke. He has this zen-like project.
What you'd call my life's work.
He takes a picture every day, the same place, at the same time.
That's right. More than 4,000 pictures of the same place. The corner of 3rd Street and 7th Avenue at 8 o'clock in the morning. 4,000 straight days in all kinds of weather.
It's a hot summer evening. Augie's invited us home to show us his photographs.
That's why I can never take a vacation. I gotta be in my spot every morning at the same time. Every morning in the same spot at the same time.
I've never seen anything like it. But I'm not sure I get it. It's a little overwhelming.
You'll never get it if you don't slow down, my friend.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're going too fast. You're hardly even looking at the pictures.
But they're all the same.
They're all the same, but each one is different from every other one. You got your bright mornings and your dark mornings. You got your summer light and your autumn light. You got your weekdays and your weekends. You got your people in overcoats and galoshes, and you got your people in T-shirts and shorts. Sometimes the same people, sometimes different ones. Sometimes the different ones become the same, and the same ones disappear. The earth revolves around the sun, and every day the light from the sun hits the earth at a different angle.
Okay. I'll try to go slower.
That's what I'd recommend. You know how it is. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Time creeps on its petty pace.
You don't have to believe anything in order to feel your breath. You don't have to call yourself a Buddhist or a Hindu. You don't have to adopt a dogma. If you're breathing, you can be meditating.
If God breathed life into Adam's nostrils, was he dead before? I know so little about religion. I wonder if Harvey Keitel is religious. Catholic, maybe. I remember him being Catholic in a number of films. All those Italian gangsters. Oh, and Judas. Didn't he play Judas in The Last Temptation of Christ?
You know the zealots ordered me to kill you.
Why'd you change your mind?
Right. He's been sent out to kill Jesus, but he doesn't do it. Because he starts believing in him.
I thought maybe you were the one to unite us. And I didn't want to destroy that.
Harvey Keitel wants Jesus to man up. He thinks he's being too soft. He wants to kill the Romans.
Look at me. If I love somebody, I'd die for them. If I hate somebody, I'd kill them. I could even kill somebody I loved if they did the wrong thing.
Well, we want the same thing.
You do?
We want to feel just one breath.
That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. First you free the body, then you free the spirit. You don't build a house from the roof down. You build it from the foundation up.
But the foundation is the breath.
The foundation is the body. That's where you must begin.
Come. Let's try again. Let's just feel one breath.
Bring your attention to your hands and see if you can make the shift from the more conceptual level, like, oh, fingers, to the world of direct sensation, pulsing, throbbing, pressure. You don't have to name these things, but feel them.
I couldn't help myself. I opened my eyes and looked down at his hands. His big, calm hands made him seem in total control. Like Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction.
You're Jimmy, right? This is your house?
Sure is.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
Good, because we got one.
So I heard. May I come in?
You sure? It's a little messy, but...
Let's get down to brass tacks, gentlemen. If I was informed correctly, the clock is ticking. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's right.
Your wife, Bonnie, comes home at 9:30 in the a.m., is that correct?
Uh-huh.
I was led to believe if she comes home and finds us here, she wouldn't appreciate none too much.
No, she's not going to be happy at all.
Now, you got a corpse in a car, minus a head in a garage. Take me to it.
I hadn't shot anybody through the head by accident, but I was as lost as Jules and Vincent were in Pulp Fiction. And Harvey Keitel had me dancing like a puppet on strings.
Jimmy.
Uh-huh?
Do me a favor, will you? Don't smell some coffee back there. Would you make me a cup?
Sure, right away.
to sharpen the concentration. As you feel the breath, you can make a very quiet mental note. A silent mental note of in, out, in, out. So that your attention is really going toward feeling the breath, feeling those sensations of the breath.
There's a gazillion things in the world one could think about other than Harvey Keitel. But right now I can't think of one of them. He's so famous. What's he even doing here? I bet he has invitations for 5 different cocktail parties tonight. You know, the good ones where the waiters wear white gloves and there's just the right balance of celebrities and not yet celebrities. And that beautiful young actress in the red dress would chat him up, and soon she would drag him out onto the darkened terrace.
Take it easy.
She would take his big hand and place it on her breast and beg him to come home with her.
Keep breathing.
And they would make out a little.
Keep breathing. Down here.
See if you can let go of whatever's taken your attention.
Do you have a website?
Bring it back to the feeling of the breath.
Oh, wait. He's probably married. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he could still have an affair.
Keep breathing.
I didn't mean to get him into trouble. I was just thinking that he would have plenty of opportunities to get into trouble.
If you find yourself getting distracted by thoughts, you can think of those thoughts as clouds moving across a vast sky. The clouds aren't the sky, and actually, the sky remains unchanged by them, however many there are, whatever they look like.
If my thoughts were little clouds passing over a clear summer sky, Harvey Keitel was like a low, dense thunderstorm lurking at every edge of the horizon.
Rather than get attached to any one thought, you can just let your thoughts float by, just like clouds moving through the sky.
Harvey Keitel, are you a cloud or are you the sky?
What?
Come on, it's a game. I've given up on my breath. You have to answer. Here's another one. Are you an ocean or a river?
An ocean or a river?
Uh-huh.
A river.
Are you a match or a cigarette lighter?
Match. Definitely a match.
Are you a car or a bicycle?
A bicycle.
Are you an owl or a hummingbird?
I used to be a hummingbird, but now I'm an owl.
Sneakers or boots?
Boots. Now it's my turn.
Wait, no, I just got started.
You concentrate now. Are you a real person or a spirit?
I think I'm a real person, but I'm confused. I'm having an out-of-body kind of experience.
Do you understand what's happened, or are you in the dark like me?
I think I'm in the dark, like you.
And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes or lift your gaze.
Everything, Nothing, Harvey Keitel was a Fall Entry production by Pike Malinowski for BBC Radio 3. This is Radio Tonic with me, Jesse Cox. Before we go today, back to the classifieds. A couple of weeks ago, we put a call out to listeners seeking memorable tales of buying, selling, losing, and finding. And you did not disappoint.
When I was a teenager in Canberra, my friend Kate and I were driving around aimlessly at night, as bored teenagers do. We were driving down some random suburban street on the other side of town when we came across a large, white, fluffy bunny. We stopped, picked it up, and knocked on the neighbouring doors. We had no idea who it belonged to. Rather than letting it hop around the streets late at night, I took it home and kept it in my backyard, assured someone would list it lost in the Canberra Times, the only newspaper in ACT. Days of checking the classifieds went by. No white bunnies were advertised. But each day, there was another classified. Lost. Brown rabbit. My 5-year-old daughter, very distressed. After a week of letting it hop around my backyard with no hutch, being harassed by our cat, I called the lady with the missing brown bunny. I said, "I don't have a brown bunny, but I do have a white bunny if you want it." The lady and her daughter came over, and it was love at first sight.
We once advertised a room for rent in Darlington through the classified section of 3D World, which was cheap as I was working there at the time. The first guy that turned up was in his late 40s and turned up with a whole stack of handwritten photocopied references. He was pretty insistent, but we ended up fobbing him off by saying we'd take a look at his references and get back to him. Obviously we never did, but he came back a fortnight later asking for the references as they were his only copies. He was pretty devastated when we told him we recycled them.
In 1962, I was due to enter Form 6, Year 12, in Melbourne. I was top of my classes. However, my father did not believe in educating girls. He flatly refused to let me do my matriculation year. A waste of money, he said. My father was not a poor man, manager of a large furniture store. I was incensed. My teachers were very disappointed. My mother could not help, as she had no money of her own, though she supported me in principle. So, bucking the trend in the family, I refused to do what my father said. I refused to leave school and instead placed an advertisement in the Eastern Suburbs Standard using my birthday money from my grandmother and aunt. Spare time jobs required. I obtained several. Tuesday afternoons after school, doing ironing for an old lady. Thursday afternoons in a local chemist shop. Saturday mornings cleaning the flat of a bachelor businessman. I had to buy my own uniform and everything else that I needed. Later in the year, I heard my father boasting to his brothers and sisters about my marks. I said nothing.
Your memories of finding, losing, seeking or selling something through the classifieds. You heard stories from Steph, Dale and Kath. That's our show for this week. Leave us a comment about any of today's stories on our website, abc.net.au/rn/radiotonic. Or find us on Twitter at rn_CAU. Technical production by David LeMay. Radiotonic is brought to you by RN's creative audio unit, the letters CAU and the sound of.
Just this one.
I'm Jesse Cox. Join me next time on the Radiotonic podcast.
It may be lonely at the top, but for decades the US has enjoyed worldwide influence, the power to create political and economic order, virtually anywhere. But is Washington's power fading?
Anyone who tells you otherwise, anyone who tells you that America is in decline or that our influence has waned, doesn't know what they're talking about.
Leading Harvard intellectual, Stephen Walt, disagrees. That's Between the Lines with me, Tom Switzer, online at the RN homepage.